I was kind of impressed with your portrayal of racial conflict and what's going on in America. What is your direct experience with that, or was it more from a third-person standpoint of view? Are these just things that you've witnessed, or have you had any, you know, personal interaction with them on a one-to-one level?
I mean, in terms of writing the poems, I think that it's like the spirit of the times or whatever.
Okay, so more spoke to the news, and the news is what spoke to
you. I definitely like pull news together and, you know, participate in, like, I don't know.
Maybe draw on some of your experiences from the
family,
right?
Yeah, like the stuff that I've, I don't know, been at least appreciative of.
Active in it all, or no, or just noticing?
Yeah, but more so just like appreciating, because the reason I hesitate to say that is for a few reasons, but the one that's like having to do with art is because like I am trying to get this kind of wider view of what's going on, which is like way beyond what I'm experiencing. I feel like it, you know, it basically is the entire country, which is, you know, amazing. So I like want to emphasize that I don't think I'd be able to say any of that if it wasn't like for observing that it's this, it's just
everywhere.
So big. Yeah, it's everywhere. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just noticing you described it a lot from the minority point of view, mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, Caucasian. I don't know exactly what your ethnicity is, but
yeah. No, I did not grow up with people having that perception of me.
Yeah.
I grew up in Texas. I'm Mexican.
Okay, are you?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. In Texas, this wasn't an issue, but yeah, I know it's been weird. It's an interesting thing. It's part of what brought me to write the first thing I was reading from, because, you know, I've moved from the valley, the Rio Grande Valley is like primarily Mexican, like it's mostly Mexican people.
Okay.
And there's, you know, basically like the white people are very white, you know,
yeah.
So like there's no mistaking me for like the white people.
Oh, yeah.
But like moving up into like Iowa, for instance, suddenly there's like in the entire state of Iowa, there's like 2% Mexican people, you know, so suddenly I am just kind of assumed to be also, I was like with this white person and I was assumed to be white. And then like I came to, like through the universities, I started basically getting more of that when I got out of Texas.
Okay.
But it made that really interesting to me. The whole Mexican is not a race too, you know, that like on my mom's side, you can see like there's a lot of indigenous things going on there, whereas my father's side is different, you know? But anyways, yeah.
And one more question. When you were talking about the swastika being throughout history, were you talking about how it's all over the world and has meant different things in different times, or just how the Aryan symbol is portrayed? Because historically, it's been a sign of peace. It's all over India. It's been found on every continent in one way or another. And it was the modern interpretation of it is not what, you know, was the original interpretation. So what were your words with that exactly?
I guess it's kind of getting at that, actually, how like the only reason that, you know, like somebody who's calling themselves like part of the Traditionalist Workers Party would like a swastika is because they love Aryans, you know, like, so
they're Nazi.
They're Nazi, and like there's that's still very much going on. So it's not so much the symbol, but it's we have, like, there are these people that are actively doing things.
But you talked about some type of historical value to the symbol, and I was just wondering what you meant by that exactly. Just the Aryan,
the people that made it what it is, like for us,
the current symbol,
right? The like who made it what it is for us now, yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, Wendy. So I was wondering, like, you know, I guess the previous conversation kind of like brought it up, but the title Mexican is not a race, that exploration of like shifting identities on the periphery, mm-hmm. is that kind of the basis of your own kind of exploration of notions of race and ethnicity in America?
Yeah, trying to get a better grasp of what exactly is going on, and like, you know, really coming, I think that definitely really influenced by, you know, people like Wilderson, and this man named Jared Sexton, who talk a lot about anti-blackness and that actually being like foundational to this country, you know. So I think that I hadn't, you know, I hadn't really, like, understanding my experiences with that in mind, like, it started to make a lot of sense, especially, you know, the fact that, like, no one really would talk about Afro-Mexicans, even though there were, I grew up, like, I didn't read the whole book to you guys, but, like, number four or something like that is about writing this poem and, like, talking to a friend who had come to visit that I, like, grew up with, and he was talking about how one of our friends, like, hated thinking about our elementary school, and he was like, because she was black, and I was like, wait, what? I didn't know Becky. Does Becky say that? And he was like, yeah. So I didn't know. But like all these people that we like grew up with, that my dad says dark Mexican. You know, like that's like how we understood it, and it was just wrong. And it was weird to like realize, you know, that was going on, and how like that could happen. You know, it is. But yeah, it's basically me trying to figure out how the hell that happens.
I guess another question would be, your writings like go like span from Mexican is not a race to accidents that happen in amusement parks and like the disposability of like people who go there. but I'm like wondering, would you say that you're interested in centering identity and just kind of like shifting identity and contextual identity like in your work later on? Or do you kind of think this is kind of like part of a bigger understanding of like race relations and dynamics in the United States?
I think the latter. It's something that is, I'm constantly going to be obsessed with. I know.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. I mean, just trying to understand it. I mean, like it was weird. It has been a weird thing to spend like 26 years of my life being like, you know, I actually got shit, you know, like for being not white, and then to like leave that and it's different, you know, like that hasn't, it's been very strange. And like, I'm obsessed with like how I like, it's so confusing to walk into some rooms and like, I don't know how people like see me. Sometimes, you know, like people know what I am and sometimes they don't, or sometimes it's something or whatever, but it's just, of course, I'm going to be obsessed with it forever.
And to Oki, thank you, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
So I'm curious, with your work, it's kind of like in centering like your experiences and like a lot of your writings towards like your mom, and like reminds you of your mom, and interweaving that in like the children street workers in Busan, and kind of like the salt kind of like enslaved salt miners that were on the coast of South Korea. Like, how do you kind of like, is it kind of like you navigating kind of like this immigrant kind of experience, but then reattaching it back to your parents and the current conditions of South Korea? Like, what do you think those things coming up in your poems stem from?
I think like when Wendy in the last answer use the word like I'm obsessed. I work off a lot of things of just like I'm stuck on this, like I'm obsessed with this. So I guess I'm sort of obsessed with my mom. So that's one. And maybe like a lot of that obsession has to do with like loss, like anything that I feel that there's some kind of loss there. And also like if there's like a kind of gap in like my ability to understand like what is, like there's something mysterious and like something that I constantly come back to with my mom, and just like relations of child bomb stuff. And then also, yeah, I think that with history and my relationship to Korean history in particular, and particularly these like incidents of like government atrocities and that I think there's been like loss there of like moving, immigrating here, and trying to figure out like what's my relationship to that history. How do I think about it? And is there something like when I try to think about it, I think it's hard for me to think in terms of say like essayistic prose. So like poetry becomes a place where I can do this thinking that is hard to do because there is like some kind of gap there between my sort of conscious understanding and this feeling of loss, I think, yeah.
Hi. This question is for Wendy. Mm-hmm. Wendy. Hi. I guess it's sort of multi-part a little bit. The Brazilian is not a race. Mm-hmm. Exploration. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first part of the question is, are you of is your family from that region? Okay, great. Okay, good. The reason why I was saying that is my parents came from Zimbabwe the year that I was born, mm-hmm. here. So I've never identified with being Black American because I don't have any Black American relatives. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I'm a citizen of Zimbabwe also. And my grandmother was born in Mozambique, so I'm Mozambican Portuguese also, you know, and she's her and my mother spoke fluent Portuguese, and so we kind of have a little Portuguese speaking thing in common. And I was wondering,
I'm from the border. I'm sorry. I'm not from that Brazil, no, but like because the majority of the book is actually about Mexico. Like,
okay.
So I'm sorry.
Okay, cheers. Yeah, no worries. But indeed, I wonder about, you know, especially, you know, this idea of being like a part of a, you know, whatever this word a nation could be. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying, you know, my parents came here the year that I was born, and so I'm included in this environment that's here, and commonly included in sort of oft similar sort of like, they all look a lot. It's like another way of saying they all look alike. So then he's, you know, he's that. Mm-hmm. And then, maybe what has been your experience within that? And like, what are your thoughts about that? Like your thoughts about the multi-theme aspect of, you know, people who exist within common land who come from multicultural, you know, derivations and versus where they are now, that identity, that fluctuation within that identity. I know it's a very loaded question, but you know, just you can veneer it, but just whatever your sort of surface thoughts are on that and whatever.
I think like my own experience moving around and having like a particular, I don't know, because I think that yours sounds a lot more special than mine. because like living on the border, that was kind of, it felt, I don't know, it was very hard for me to like tell, like it was its own thing. It just felt like American, honestly, sadly, you know, like, but yeah. So for me, I felt like I definitely, like I pull up videos or my dad embarrassingly will put videos on my wall sometimes on Facebook, and there'll be like these videos of like me dancing as a little kid like to music that I don't listen to anymore, you know. But like I have all this nostalgia, but at the same time, like I feel like the majority of what ended up happening, it just was subsumed in like the culture of the United States, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
So I actually also am Mexican, but grew up in the border and stuff, and spent like half my life in Mexico and half my life here. How, like, as someone in the position that we're both are, where we don't really fit in either like Mexican enough or American enough. How do you, kind of similar to his question, like how do you incorporate this kind of, I guess, lack of identity
mm-hmm.
in writing?
I think that's what Brazilian Is Not a Race is like really about. I think that I came to, or the exploration that I'm doing is, you know, realizing like how anti-black most of like, honestly, like Chicanoism has been. It's true, like that identity is like built on anti-blackness actually. So rather than focusing so much on like, you know, having an identity, like I've spent more time focusing on how it like has actually obscured black people in Mexico and this entire history, you know, that is really, really important too. So yeah, because I think that the thing that people have done in the past, right, is like basically Chicano nationalism or whatever. And I don't, you know, I'm not against all of that, but I'm more concerned with getting at the actual history of Mexico and Latin America, which is like very much about black people too, you know, and like these when people talk about what was it, mestizo, like in Mexico specifically, like they, you know, they will only speak of like native and like European roots or whatever, and to like go back and see like how very, you know, significant black people have been to Mexico. And like Lit La Bamba was actually like a song sung by slaves, you know? And then getting into that history, the fact that that was there, you know, like, I don't know. So I guess the way that I manage not really having like a very secure identity is like, just like admitting that actually like the racism in the United States especially is kind of built on like black and white. And, you know, it's really important to acknowledge how like maybe some of the identities that we've come up with haven't helped, really.
Hello, this is a question for Oki. So you spoke of being a world builder, and you also said something about the air being invisibly and densely populated, and I was just curious about the act of creation or of illumination of worlds, like, do you find them as places that you travel back to, or how does that function for you? Do you have a favorite?
So I think some of that comes from like many people like growing up reading sci-fi and fantasy. So then I think that kind of like structures a little bit like how you maybe dream. So like a lot of my dreams like take place in what feel like worlds that I return to, but obviously they're a kind of fantasy structure, right? But I started to think about like how that's kind of a interesting way to, it's like you could use those structures or similar structures, you could create them instead of just like finding them in dreams. You could make things like that and call them poems or the other narratives. And use that to think about things that are, like I said before, like just hard to think about otherwise. So just kind of giving scaffolding kind of like some physical space to explore ideas that are otherwise, maybe that's just how my brain works. I find it hard otherwise to think about a lot of things. And for some reason, like visualizing a space or a world and then thinking about like how something might live or die in that, I think, is helpful.
No.
So I'm gonna harass you again, Wendy. So I'm really kind of interested, I guess to bounce off to your question, when I was hearing his question, another question I had for myself was, what is it like your experiences and your writing kind of like navigating understanding that, of course, there have been so many different kinds of people that have been in the United States, but having to position yourself within a kind of colonial American heritage that includes Black and white people, what do you think it is? What is the position of folks you feel who are like you, who are not of that Anglo experience in this kind of like discussion of like race and racism?
That's so hard. it's totally fine, but that actually is really difficult. I don't know exactly how to articulate it, but I feel like part of the reason I focus on the anti-Blackness that, you know, I've discovered in like attempts to like secure an identity for like, you know, basically mixed people, you know, is because I feel like, you know, this has happened with, and it's hard to describe like how exactly it happens, but you know, like there's been like ethnic groups that just become like whiter, you know, like they, like they're recognized as white eventually. I don't want to say like, oh, all these, you know, like Latinos are becoming white or whatever, but like they're, you know, yeah, some are, you know, like not becoming, they are, like they literally like are. And I feel like, that's that middle like weird space that a lot of people occupy, and that's kind of how I feel, and that's why I don't really want it to be like in terms, because those identities have been used to kind of like struggle under, but I feel like that isn't what I want to do. Like I would, if like we're fighting racism, like fighting anti-Blackness is actually like, it's going to be more like what I want to see happen, you know. It would stop way before it needs to if I didn't do that, because I think that, yeah, it's, you know, I think that this country has been all too willing to, like, pull some people in, you know, so, yeah.
Like destabilizing racial identity to, like, keep racial integrity.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi. I had a question. I mean, okay, you already sort of started to answer it in response to a different question, but maybe I'll sort of see if I can elicit a little bit more. But it's a question for both of you, which is, it seems to me, in hearing the poems and knowing you both a little bit, you have some shared political commitments, obviously around anti-capitalist, anti-state politics, some race and racialization politics. But your approaches are really notably different. They go together nicely. And I sort of wanted to ask, a speculative approach that involves science fiction and the space of dreams and things like that, as opposed to Wendy, right? There's a lot of like documentary or research-based, text-based, and those are like quite different ways to approach similar concerns. And I sort of wanted to get you both to talk to us or each other about what it means to approach those things so differently and what happens when you do that.
You should start.
Okay. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should try to write a Wendy poem. which maybe just be like the limits of my ability or something. But yeah, that's a good question. I think about that a lot.
I do too, actually.
And I like try sometimes to write differently, and sometimes semi-successfully. But yeah, like that question of like, how does the form sort of, yeah, I think that sometimes what I think about when I'm writing is like, it's like something that I want to give to my friends. And at this point, I'm like not totally confident to do what Wendy is doing, which I think is like amazing. But I'm like, oh, what can I offer? And I think like what I can offer is like, I like can just like do this thing that that I do for myself to just like sort of get through life, I think, which is like making these like life worlds or like, I don't know, using these structures, right, to think about things that are hard. And so I think that's just like something that I can do at this point, is to write something that maybe can at best like give people some space to think about things, but like maybe not within the confines of the kind of conversations that we often have in political meetings or like on Facebook, on internet fights, which I like, I love all that discourse and fighting sometimes. but I don't know, I think like at sometimes I think like, okay, at the end of the day, like when I go to a poetry reading, sometimes I also want like to take away something that helps me with the next day. And so I don't know if I'm also successful at that, but like that's sometimes what I want to give to my friends.
Yeah. I actually think about this a lot too, but I really have thought like that what you do is harder actually. Like no, seriously, because I think that like for me, I think all that I really do is there are things that I notice and I write them down and see if like I can make sense of what's going on based on like these things that are happening. I don't know. I feel like it's really not that complicated. And also just like I think I'm also more of an asshole than you are. Like, no, seriously. Like, I think that I, like, focus on things that bother me a lot. And so I sit there and I will, like, fixate and tear shit apart, you know, because I'm mad. Whereas I think that you tend to, like, you build things. Like, you construct all these, you know, like,
I mean, I think you're building things too. I mean, you're like an avid researcher. So you're like, right, it's not just like, oh, I noticed this thing. You're like, I read like 100 books and I noticed all these things and I put it together.
Okay. But again, just obsessed about like a problem.
Yeah, it's good.
But no, I feel like there's a lot of beauty in the stuff that you create. I feel like you're trying to imagine like some alternative space where I'm just like, fuck this space over and over. I won't try to imagine something else. I'm just like so mad about this.
I definitely start from that place too, where I'm like, yes, fuck this space. Now, like, what else do I want though?
Yeah, I never can get there, I have to admit. But yeah, that's how I've thought of it before. Like, I feel like you actually can create some other reality, like in writing or whatever. Whereas every time I try to do that, it's just bad. It's just, I can't really do that. I've never been very good at that. But that's how I've understood it, where it's just like, I think we like are definitely obsessed with the same kinds of things. We just have different reactions. And I do think like an easy way to understand it, I do think that you are kinder than I am. Seriously, I really actually believe that. It's fine. I mean, I'm really kind to my friends, but in general, like, sometimes I'm not very kind, I know, so.
I really appreciate you being an asshole.
Yay.
To ask a question because we walked in so late, but I just riffing off what you were just saying, Wendy, with like, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with like not hesitating to be antagonistic. I'm just curious. I feel like I gain a lot of permission from this quality or this thing that happens in public space mm-hmm. by you, and I'm just curious how. Or why or when that formed in maybe how it intersects or maybe doesn't at all with gender.
Oh, with the yelling? the assholes?
I think it probably does just because like, you know, I definitely wasn't raised to say everything that I say. And had to fight for that for a long time. So sometimes I, you know, like I just want to make sure that I say something as opposed to just like, you know, allowing things to happen. yeah, without having like actually, so I inside I know that I like am thinking, don't do that, don't like not say something, you know, and even if it sounds really bad, just say it, like you'll figure it out as you're talking, you know, which is seriously true, turns out. But yeah, I think that that definitely, I, at least I'm aware that I have to try harder to say things, yeah. So it might come out like, you know when someone, I think, well, recently there's a friend who like is having to learn how to talk again. Is having to learn how to talk again. And like, so sometimes they will talk and like scream or like yell. I feel like that's kind of what happens a lot where it's just like, I don't realize that that was gonna come out that way. It just does, you know?
It's to what you were just saying. Within you, as you sort of explore your curiosities, your journey within your writing, finding you know your voices, however they exist. How do you sort of write around those blockades that you can see within? That you just don't, you know, for whatever reason, maybe not want to tackle. I mean, we're all creative. We see things as humans. We see, you know, the pile of laundry on the floor that we're just like, oh, no, not today, you know. Maybe next week, but we don't do it that day, you know. But, you know, just as a human, how do you sort of like, you know, sort of like create around some of those blockades while still, you know, doing some interesting shit or whatever, you know? Yeah.
You mean like just how do I write and like,
yeah, but you know, sort of like being sort of self-aware of your humanity, I guess, if you will, and you know, and just how you approach things and approach the world and approach your creativity and all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely came up with this is going to sound really dumb, actually, but I still do. I think this is probably a source of like our differences too. That. In order for me to even write at all, I, like it had to just be like not trying to make anything pretty, like just you know, just like the same, like the first things that would come out. And honestly, the way that I started doing that was I started smoking weed when I would like write, and it really helps. You know, I'm a very tense person and have anxiety. That definitely makes it easier.
Watching movies.
I love that. Indeed. I just want to go on microphone on record saying that I love that.
Really
absolutely.
Helps.
Cheers. Indeed. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yo, yeah, please. Yeah, indeed as well. You know, how do you sort of, you know, being self-aware of you just your humanity and how you approach yourself and how you enter the world, you know, what are some of your processes in that regard?
Like in regards to writing?
Writing, just creativity, being human, just, you know, with her, she was mentioning how, you know, sometimes she's an asshole and she's sort of like, can't access certain areas that she wished she could, but there's a certain level of self-awareness that she recognizes it, although she doesn't, you know, it's like, you know, that laundry pile that I was saying
right. That
exists there within you, you know, some parts of your humanity that you're like, you know, maybe I could be doing this better. And I recognize that. But I'm just not going to even fuck with that shit right now. you know, and you're just going to just sort of create in the best way that you can in the space that you've designed for yourself that you shared with us right now.
That's a really nice way to think about it. I feel like I really related to the laundry pile part where I was like, I feel like that's how I write poetry, where I'm like, oh, like I could be doing laundry, but poetry is like the way I procrastinate from doing the things I need to be doing. And so I think that's also part of why it's like, oh, like I want to make something like I like reading versus like doing work or just things that I don't want to be looking at. But yeah, I also like I like to watch a lot of K-dramas. and cry. So that's like my other main form of procrastination, and they go really well together. It's like I have to like have my like melodramatic catharsis, and then it's like, oh, okay, like from that point I can sort of like swerve and not that much to like write some like poem. Yeah. Thank you.
Unless there's another question, there could be another question. Okay, thank you both.
Thank you so much for having us.